From North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, this is Occasional Shivers. I'm Branford Marsalis. Over the next hour, you meet a number of characters. They're going to take you back in time for a story about young love, music, and the big city at holiday time. There's the young songwriter named Will, played by Walker Harrison, and the budding songstress Jennifer, played by singer Millie McGuire. But the show opens with a guy named Bags.
Sometimes I think that the 12 months of the year are like the chord changes of a slow 12-bar blues, that everything that happens from January to November is just part of a push toward hitting that inevitable final cadence come December. Then it starts all over again. A new year, some new faces, but the same familiar refrain. This year, 1963, has been like that for sure. So much has happened, so much has changed, but here we are again at the holidays, camouflaging the chaos of our lives with eggnog and tinsel. Hey, we haven't been introduced. I'm Bags Benmond. It says Bertram on my driver's license, but no friend of mine ever calls me that. I've been Bags since jazz band in high school 5 years ago. And the moniker has followed me here to Manhattan, where I got lucky. I was playing for quarters in front of a theater on Broadway one night when somebody got the flu. They grabbed me off the street as a sub. Now I play sax in the pit of West Side Story and hang out with the creme de la creme of the Broadway jazzer set. I'm headed tonight to Bertie McDavanish's annual holiday bash. I know you've heard of her. And this has set me thinking about all that has happened since Bertie's last Christmas party. I was there in person for some of it. Other parts I piece together later. 1 year ago to this day, I was heading east below the park on 59th Street, running late as usual, when I saw a strangely familiar figure standing in front of the Plaza Hotel. He had a battered suitcase at his side and a subway map in his hand.
I love the sound of the traffic, the rat-tat-tat of the train. A rhapsody that's pneumatic, so new and strange. I love the cobblestone clatter, the horse-drawn carriages sway, the way the pigeons all scatter out of my way. I want to be part of the so loud. I want to be part of the noise when fireworks shine on Fulton Shore. At Sylvia's up in Harlem, Vasoka's Second Avenue, the pepper sauce is alarming. Garcon table for two. I'll skate at 30 Rock Center. FAO shorts for the toys. The Empire Diner for dinner. That's my New York.
Bags, I can't believe it.
What are you doing here, man?
Finally making the move.
To the city?
Yeah. Well, I've been just getting nowhere back home. Been writing a lot of songs, but all they want is this chubby checker stuff, something to twist to. And I'm all alone with my Jerome Kern and Cole Porter.
Well, you're going to find that in this town, there are people who are glad that rock and roll fad is about played out. I'm actually headed to a party with a bunch of them. Hey, you want to come?
Absolutely.
It's Swanksville, Martini Land. Have you ever heard of a singer named Bertie McDavish?
She starred in Once Under a Lamppost, right? In the 50s?
Yeah, parties at Bertie's place. It's a yearly Christmas bash for some of her Broadway pals and Manhattan royalty. But she lets some of the poor folks in, too. You dig it.
You're on.
Wind came up out of nowhere, freezing us to the bone during our short walk across Fifth Avenue to the Sherry Netherland. We brushed off the snow as the elevator took us to the top. The party was already in full swing, and Bertie was sitting in with the band.
What is this music that I hear whenever you are near? The thrill of it is exquisite and strange. The glare and clatter of the crowd, which once it seemed so loud, has vanished and your melody remains. What is this music that I hear? What is this music that I hear? Each time I find you standing there, what is this music that I hear?
Will stashed his suitcase by the stuffed Santa by the door, and I introduced him around. We started with Paul Carter, the iconic songwriter who'd written the soundtrack for New York in the 40s and 50s. Paul squinted when I introduced Will as a songwriter green to the city.
A songwriter, eh? Who's your hero?
Besides you, Mr. Carter?
Hey, Bags. He'll do. He'll do. Just into the city?
2 hours ago.
So what are you doing for bread, and where are you laying your head?
No clue, sir.
I might have an idea. Let's talk later. Oh, Bertie, there you are. Is there any more of this chocolate fondue in the kitchen?
I think that can be arranged.
Waving at me from across the room was Jennifer Delancey, a young singer and would-be actress.
Bags, good to see you.
Jennifer, meet my friend Will.
Hi, ma'am. Pleased.
He called me ma'am, Bags.
He's from my hometown. Flew in just today, so he's still sporting a veneer of civility. Don't worry, Will. This town will sand that right off you. He's a songwriter, Jennifer.
Is that so? Have you got a song for me, Will?
Gosh, ma'am. I don't know. I might have something.
I could use a good tune or two. I have an audition in the works. With that guy over there. In the tux.
It was Jeffrey Cabot who managed a lot of the players and was also the owner of the loft we all lived in. He'd been cornered by J.P. Carlisle, the legendary bassist, who had come up the ladder with Miles and Monk and Bird, balancing a chip on his shoulder the whole way.
Now, calm down, J.P.
Hey, Jeffrey, you gotta get straight with me. I played the gig. I need the cash.
Not here.
Yeah, here. Right here. Right now. I can't get you on the horn. I can't find you in the club. I need that money.
Man, they hated you.
I can't help it if those ladies are living in 1910 and can't get into what Bud Powell and I are doing. You're the manager. It's your fault. Pay me what you owe me.
Gentlemen, please. It's Christmas, and there are impressionable youngsters amongst us. What say we repair to the dessert table? I hear the moose calling.
You stay out of this, Paul, and listen, about the loft, you need to get that plaid-suited shyster of yours to back off.
Hey, Jeffrey, this is Bertie's place, and this is a party. Take it somewhere else.
It's not a discussion I intend to have anywhere.
So, who is she, Bags? Jennifer, I mean.
She sings, she acts, she dreams, Back on planet Earth, she's a girl who works in a shop, really. It's a classic story.
You think she meant it about me writing a song for her?
Mom, I'm fine. I did go to the party, but I left early. I just forgot to call you. I put the bolt on. You shouldn't worry. Queens is very safe.
Have you not seen the news?
It's almost midnight. You go back to sleep.
I love you, honey.
I love you, too. Good night. Sleep tight.
Jennifer, however, wasn't sleepy. Quite the contrary. She sat for a long time, staring out at the crescent moon.
I fall in love so easily. I see a smile that pleases me. Before you know, I can't get free. Oh, I fall in love so easily. I tell myself I'll run away and live to love another day. But that's before you looked my way. Oh, I fall in love so easily. Maybe it's all because of the weather. Winter, fall, the colder the better. But if that's true, I'd like to keep warm.
I lived on the ground floor of the Cabot Building on Broome Street. It had been used for some kind of textile goods for decades. But when they finally jumped ship for the boroughs, Jeffrey, the music manager, who had inherited the building from his dad, was happy to rent it as is to us, my fellow musicians and painters and other creative types who could overlook the erratic plumbing and flickering electricity. Paul Carter himself lived on the second floor, and now, surprise, Will had a mattress in the corner of Paul's loft. He had impulsively hired Will that night of the party as his assistant and apprentice. Will's duties included a trip each morning to the chocolate shop across the street, the shop where Jennifer worked.
Hi, Will.
Morning, Jennifer.
Paul want the usual?
Some extra bonbons today. He says he's got a lot of music to write.
I think it would work out cheaper if Paul would just buy this shop lock, stock, and barrel. How are you getting along living there?
It's great. JP upstairs, Bags, the others. I'm learning a lot.
Paul's a bit nutty, isn't he?
Nutty, but he knows so much about music. And he knows everybody. Yesterday, Leonard Bernstein popped in. Some to-do about a French orchestral piece.
Here you go. That's $5.85. I'll put it on account. Hey, Will, how's my song coming?
Were you serious about that?
Of course. You'll write one for me?
Yeah, okay. I gotta run.
Bye.
Here you go, Paul.
Oh, in the nick of time. My muse was down for the count.
Hey, Paul, do you mind me asking? I don't get it. I mean, what's up with the chocolate, anyway?
I'll tell you, it's taken me years of research, but I've found only one thing, one simple thing that can be relied upon through thick and thin, although mostly thick, I have to say. Let me explain.
Once I found remedies in chemical improprieties, jet fuel injections, prohibited bliss. But I can resist the past as long as I break my fast with delicacies gourmand and the bittersweet kiss of a chocolate bar with a caramel heart, the gleam of a ganache tart, a coffee to the brim. Now that's my sole desire. There's no amelioration for this intoxication. Some say love is all we're really after, but it's chocolate that fills my heart with laughter.
The song Intoxichocolification brings this part of our story to a close. It's sung by Django Haskins, who's playing the role of Paul. He and the other singers this hour are backed by an orchestra that includes Bill Frisell and Scott Sawyer guitar, Will Campbell and Matt Douglas on saxophone, Jim Crew, Wes Lachaud, Julian Lambert, and Chris Stamey, piano. Dan Davis and Tony Stiglitz, drums. Danny Gruen, trombone. John Brown and Jason Foreman, acoustic bass. Karen Galvin and Laura Thomas, violins. Matt Chickerell, viola. And Leah Gibson, cello. I'm Branford Marcellus, and this is Occasional Shivers. It's produced by Chris Stamey for WUNC. It's distributed by APM. American Public Media. I'm Branford Marcellus. This is Occasional Shivers.
Phew, that was fun.
That's Jennifer. She's the young singer that's falling for this guy, Will.
I had no idea Central Park was so humongous.
Let's get back to our story.
That was crazy. The birds around that old woman feeding them, it was like Hitchcock, but happy.
And this is nice too, you know? Just sitting and watching the parade, wondering what the stories are in their lives.
Now, are you turning these folks into lines for some song in your head?
Maybe.
I don't get it. How do you and Paul write these songs in the first place? It seems like magic to me.
Well, sometimes it just comes out, and it's like taking dictation. I hear it and just try to write it down as quick as I can. Here's a secret, though. Sometimes you just need a really great opening line. Then it will all fall into place. Fascinating rhythm. I get no kick from champagne. Some words almost sing themselves, you know, the way that...
Oh, Will, just look. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's a perfect day. Have you ever seen anything more beautiful? And, ooh, that man over there with the monkey on a leash talking to the boy with the tiny turban and jewels. And just look at the Afghan hounds chasing the frisbee at the edge of the woods. Listen, that's the music from the carousel. That would be fun to do now, if you have time. When do you have to be back at...
There's not a cloud in the sky.
What?
Gone are the tears in my eyes.
Will?
The wind is whispering, why can't we fly? If it were stormy today, I know I'd feel the same way. Let lightning come as it may, I'll be safe in your arms.
What? Wait, there's more.
No matter the weather, whenever we are together, the sun shines.
How did you do that?
You said there's not a cloud in the sky, remember? It was you. That's all it took. You were the fuse. I mean, the muse, right?
Wow, that's...
Come on. Here, you try it. I've got an idea for a third verse line right here.
No, I couldn't.
Oh, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If it were night, we'd see stars. Blue diamonds flung from afar.
New York lurched into spring. In early April, the parks became oases of color against the unchanging grays and browns of the skyscrapers, and Will became more and more besotted. From the small porthole above his bed, he could see Jennifer working away in the chocolate shop. When not copying parts or running errands for Paul, he'd struggle with ideas for a song for her, sometimes running them by me. But he was shy about approaching the great Paul for help. One afternoon, however, when no deadline was pending and Paul had finished perusing the post for song ideas, Will gathered his courage.
Hey, Paul?
Hmm?
Do you really use headlines to inspire you?
Absolutely. Look here, page 8. Woman keeps shark in bathtub. Now, somewhere in there, there's a hit tune splashing to get out.
It doesn't work that way for me.
Oh, you wait for the seductive vapors of a muse to fog and infuse your cortex? Ah, youth. I was that way myself once upon a dream. Check this out. I wrote this for Birdie back in the day.
My inspiration is not from the news. I don't find enchantment in Mozart or blues. But when I see you, the chords ring out true. My inspiration comes only from you. Picasso had Dora, before that Marie, F. Scott and Zelda, but unhappily Chopin's Delphina, Manet, Victorine. But I have you only to fill up my dreams. Maybe it's merely a trick of the light, a shadow kissed between day and night. But every morning you fill up my view, and the mellow
Birdie must have loved that song.
I never published it. I never even sang it to her.
One rainy evening, mid-May, from my first floor window, I saw Will and Jennifer leave the shop together under one umbrella. And I thought to myself, about time. Shortly after, Birdie walked through the front door and up the stairs. The elevator was busted again. She knocked loudly on Paul's door, which was never locked.
Ah! Bags, what's wrong with him? He's not waking up.
Look, that syringe under the piano. And the bottle of Remy's empty.
Oh, God. I thought all of that was behind him. And all that blather about chocolate.
Is that you, Bernstein? I'm going to see her at all the way to the Moulin Rouge.
Hey, Birdie, he's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. We should let him sleep. Help me get him onto the couch. I think one of us should stay here with him for a little while. Make sure he's cool.
I'll do it. Babysitting him again. It'll just be like the old days. The bad old days. You go on. We'll be fine. Oh, Paul.
I didn't mean to fall in love with you. It was the last thing that I'd want to do. Across a crowded room, I saw you there, waving your hand in the air. I didn't know that it would come to this, to go from strangers to a goodnight kiss. The curtains in the breeze, strange melodies, champagne at 40 degrees. Now I find I spend all the seconds till I see you again. Church bells chime and the subways cry, but in my mind I'm there with you. I should have realized the warning signs. I'd laugh before you to the punchline. Walking in Central Park, long after dark, warmed by the thought of your spark. Till I see you again. Church bells chime and the subways grind, but in my mind I'm there with you. In my mind I'm there.
The loft building wasn't zoned for living, but Paul and JP and their fellow travelers have been there for years now and had watched as Soho morphed into a new bohemia. Suddenly, the dilapidated cast iron structures were highly sought after. The rents we were paying were next to nothing compared to what the Wall Streeters were willing to fork over. Nevertheless, when Jeffrey's imminent eviction notices arrived, we were not prepared. JP called a tenants' meeting that night, and temperatures ran hot under the flickering bare light bulbs.
We are forgotten men beneath the underdog.
in the shadows of the land
beneath the underdog.
So hard to play the rent
beneath the underdog.
Cheated out of every cent
beneath the underdog. Beneath the underdog.
When are we gonna wake up? When are we gonna wake up? When are we gonna wake up? When are we gonna wake up?
They call us bohemians
beneath the underdog.
But we are working men
beneath the underdog.
They say eviction is at hand
beneath the underdog.
But we won't break and we won't bend. We won't break and we won't bend.
No,
we won't break and we won't bend
beneath the underdog. Beneath the underdog. Beneath the underdog. Beneath the underdog.
Spring oozed into summer in the city. With the windows now open full time in the swelter, I could hear melodies drift down from Paul's floor. And some of these were clearly coming from Will's hands now, as he struggled with new material of his own. Sometimes we'd jam, me and my sax on the first floor, his piano up above. He and Jennifer had heated up considerably as well, with lunch dates in Washington Square Park, movies, MoMA, nightcaps, even the occasional overnight visit to Queens, it seemed. It was a cooler, rainy night in mid-June when we all gathered at the Village Vagabond for a rare set by Sylvia Valentine, the frail but brilliant interpreter of so many classic jazz ballads who have been crashing recently on the top floor at JP's. The opening act was Alvin Freely, a different story altogether. Alvin surrendered the stage, finally, to a general sigh of relief, although I kind of dug it. And Sylvia ascended to the mic. After some of her classics, she introduced...
A new tune by a new cat in town, Will Cassidy. He calls this one, Lover, Can You Hear Me?
That's my song. You told me it was for me, inspired by me.
She heard it through the window. She came down and knocked on the door. She's Sylvia Valentine, Jennifer. I couldn't say no to her.
I can't believe you.
I don't know if I've ever felt this way before. I don't know if I'll feel this way again. But I know that the moment you walked in the door, I can't say if the sun revolves around the moon. I don't know if there's oxygen on my ribs. But I know that the night has never been so filled with the stars. The morning creeps across the dawn, silhouettes, all that's left of our desire. Cigarettes in the ashtray hold the memory of their thrill me.
bolted as the song ended, tears in her eyes. Will rose to run after her, but Sylvia pulled him up on the stage for a round of applause. The way I heard it, at the back of the club, Jennifer ran headfirst into Jeffrey, his rum and coke splattering all over his suit. Apologies led to conversation. And the next thing you know, I hear she's aced her audition and Jeffrey's managing her and telling her he's going to take her right to the top.
You're listening to Occasional Shivers. I'm Branford Marcellus. We just heard Skylar Goddaz singing Lover, Can You Hear Me? Skylar is playing the role of Sylvia Valentine. I'm Branford Marcellus. This is Occasional Shivers. The story picks up with our couple, Jennifer and Will, at a much-anticipated lunch date at the Plaza Hotel.
Now, come September, sure enough, under Jeffrey's tutelage, Jennifer was finding her days filled with showcases, recording sessions, and photo shoots. She dropped most of her shifts at the chocolate shop. Meanwhile, although still assisting Paul, Will was getting calls for his own songs and arrangements. The young couple finally made plans to meet for lunch at the Palm Court.
Will, do you know what time it is? The maitre d' was about to make me give up the table.
Gosh, I'm sorry. Paul, you know...
Hey, I have a life too. I canceled a photo shoot to be here.
Walking in the rain, humming this refrain, then you're off to Timbuktu.
Postcards from the same, now you're back again. Tell me what's a boy to do.
Film, maybe Jules Arjem, waiting for the final scene. I turn my head and then you've gone with the wind, oh so unpredictably. Unpredictable,
unpredictable.
I never know exactly where you are. Unpredictable,
unpredictable.
As a shooting star,
it's remarkable that anyone
who knows you like I do is indisputably so in love with you.
There's a new movie on at the Plaza.
I can't do that, I'm sorry. I've got something scheduled then.
Sunday brunch then, Maria's?
Well, I'm going to pick my bike up from the shop.
What about Tuesday?
What about next week?
Let's go for a bike ride this Saturday.
I got so much work to do.
Japanese place?
Well, you know, I'm working on the Connie Francis strings and their deuces.
Unpredictable.
Unpredictable.
I never know exactly who you are. As inscrutable.
As inscrutable.
As a Russian czar.
It's remarkable
that the two of us ever got this far. How unpredictable, but that's the way we are. That's the way we are. That's the way we are.
Jennifer, there you are.
Sorry, Jeffrey.
The session starts in 15. I've got a cab waiting. Good grief, girl.
Bye, Will.
Hey, Bags. Hey, JP. What's up?
It's going down. Down. Way down. No up about it.
What happened?
The cops were here. No stay of eviction. No recourse. We have 48 hours to vacate, and then they padlock.
What?
I'm headed to Brooklyn with Sylvia. There's no place in Manhattan that I can afford.
Hey, JP! Come on, we gotta pack.
Hold your horses, woman. I'm coming.
I've been here for years. Where am I gonna go?
Gotta keep moving, like your shark song says.
Hey, guys, we tried, you know? I gotta go find some boxes. Oh, Will, Jennifer called for you on the payphone. No message. Oh, and this came for you, Paul.
What's this? From Paris, special delivery.
Will,
Great jumping Jehoshaphat. It's the Paris gig. Bernstein's turned it down. He's too busy. It's come back to me. To us.
You're kidding.
Two first-class tickets in here. Air France. You and me, tomorrow morning.
Me?
You have to go. It's gonna be tight making this deadline at all now.
You really need me to go?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I need you, Will, to keep me out of trouble.
So everything was turned on its ear just like that. One door closes, the other opens, and suddenly you're staring up at the Eiffel Tower. Will headed to Queens that night to tell Jennifer in person.
But I have to go. He needs me.
Of course. The great Paul. He needs you. What about me?
You have so much for you here. Jeffrey's doing wonders. You're on your way.
I thought we were on our way. Together. I see I was wrong. Wrong again about everything. Always.
I'm in love with you. That hasn't changed.
Ha! It's not me you love. I'm as real to you as smoke, after a fire is gone. You conjured me up, your muse, a pretty picture. Less than that. Just a frame for one. I am not your mirror. I am flesh and blood. I'm right here in front of you. Can you see me at all?
Here's where we came in, heading up to Bertie's party once again, playing the final chords of this long, sad blues of 1963. I don't think I have to tell you that losing our young president in Dallas last month made a lot of this Manhattan happenstance seem pretty trivial. But our little story goes on. I stayed in town after we lost the loft. I'm living in Hell's Kitchen now. With Will gone to Paris with Paul, Jennifer ended up with Jeffrey, her manager. Strange, that. I haven't seen her for a while, but I even heard they're engaged. Maybe she'll be at the party. Will wrote me that he got one of his songs into a Catherine Deneuve movie, Pour l'amour de l'amour, and it's a gargantuan hit in Europe. Hasn't made it to these shores yet, though.
Bags, bags, bags. So glad.
Bertie. I wouldn't miss it for all the tea in Chinatown. Hey, JP.
Hey, Sylvia.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Bagsy and Bertie, my two favorite E's in all the world.
Jennifer's here someplace. She gave Jeffrey the slip tonight, thank goodness. He keeps a tight leash on that girl. Samuel, please give this man a beverage.
Here you are, sir.
So I circulate. I make the rounds. It's nice, actually, to see the same familiar faces. After a while, though, I start to think about splitting for the village when...
What cat dragged you in? Do my eyes deceive me?
Will! What's up, Will?
Hi, everybody. I got the last plane out from Paris before the storm hit. So glad I made it. Paul missed the flight.
We haven't seen you since before you became famous. Ooh la la. Oh, I want to hear the song. You know, the Catherine Deneuve film, The Hit... Now, please, step lively.
But I just walked in. Bertie, no.
What better time? There is no here. Everybody, gather round.
Hey, Will.
Hey, Jennifer.
Will, we're waiting.
Bertie pulls him over behind the piano where the state-of-the-art hi-fi sits, the Girard turntable and KLH speakers. She makes him open his shiny new briefcase, and a copy of the soundtrack from Pour l'amour de l'amour is, of course, right there on top. As the black vinyl disc starts to sputter and spin, our expectant faces stare back at us, reflected in the Steinway's ebony lid.
Occasional glances across a room as if there were no one else there. occasionally, casually peck a cheek, as if to say you could still care, though that was long ago. Years or days, I forget. I must admit, when I'm near you, I still feel occasional shivers. Perhaps you remember the bitter taste. Perhaps you recall with a smile. Perhaps you envision the rapt embrace, the tentative kiss of a child. Funny how the chance remark bears a sting, and yet I don't regret. When I'm near you, I still feel occasional
see Jennifer's face in the piano lid. She's ashen. She looks like she's seeing a ghost or hearing one. It seems clear to us all that she is the subject of Will's song. At first, that Jennifer is sitting at the piano. I didn't realize she could even play. But of course, it's just those four basic chords.
Did I ever tell you the reason I called? That night in September when the wind shook the walls. As the lightning struck, I said, I don't wanna die. And I knew right then you were the reason why. I am yours from the moment I rise.
threatening skies, I am yours. Now I realize I am yours. We exist in silence, there's no way to get through. Something's come between us, and I've lost touch with you. But I would give anything to be back. There in the darkness where it all began, I am yours. From the moment I rise, I am yours. And I cannot disguise that I'm yours. Till the day that I die, I am yours. We spoke of future plans and the choices we made. What seemed important then means nothing to me now. I can't breathe, I'm lost, and now I found I am yours. From the moment I rise, I am yours. And I cannot disguise that I'm yours. Till the end of our lives, I
it's morning now, the 31st of December. 1964 is just around the corner. I'd like to tell you that there was a happy ending last night at the party, that the two embraced and went off into the night, never to part, that all was understood, all was forgiven. But that's Hollywood you're thinking of. This is New York, and it's not like that here. In any case, it wasn't, not this time. Will had gone over to her afterward, after J.P. broke the stunned silence with a joke. I saw them talking on the balcony for a while, the falling snow ghosting them under what there was of a moon. Then Jeffrey showed up after all, and she went to him, and the two left together, taking the train down to his folks on the island, she said. Will stayed for a bit longer. We caught up, but he was on Paris time and beat. I walked him across to the plaza where he was staying for the weekend, and then I walked home in the snow, which was falling so fast now that my footprints disappeared seconds after I planted them, so there was little trace left, no indication that any of this had ever happened. I thought for a second I heard singing, but I did a 360 and nothing. So I walked on.
I love the sound of the traffic, the rat-tat-tat of the train, a rhapsody that's pneumatic, so new and strange.
Well, that's our show. In real life, my name is Eric Hodge. Over here, we've got...
Walker Harrison. I play Will in the show.
I'm Millie McGuire, and I play Jennifer DeLancey.
I'm Django Haskins, and I play Paul.
I'm Shirsten Lambert, and I play Bertie McDavish.
Marshall Crenshaw here, and I was J.P. Carlisle.
Skylar Gudaz, playing the role of Sylvia Valentine.
Don Dixon, at your service, as Jeffrey Cabot III.
Occasional Shivers was written, recorded, and produced in Chapel Hill, North Carolina for WUNC by Chris Stamey, who wrote all the songs as well. The title song was sung by the great Nina Freelon. We also had special guests, singer Precise Baez. The show was directed by Caitlin Wells and mastered by Kitchen Mastering. The soundtrack for Occasional Shivers is available on iTunes and on Amazon. This program was a production of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, and was distributed by APM, American Public Media. I'm Branford Marcellus.